Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And Sarah, I don't think you were with me on the episode when I talked about activated charcoal, right? Does that even ring a bell?
I don't think so, but that'll be terrible if I was and neither of us remember it.
Well, then we should probably do an episode on memory or something, because we're probably overdue for an episode on memory. But no, so activated charcoal was an episode I did a while ago, and it was about activated charcoal, obviously. But how I was surprised that a lot of that, it came up under health, but a lot of that was more like skincare-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Because activated charcoal is theoretically supposedly good for like acne-prone skin, even though research is sort of like, maybe not.
It's so trendy right now, though. Everywhere you look, you got those charcoal masks.
Every skincare product now is like black something.
Yes.
It's just like, but do you even need it? Just black. But you need to be black because, you know, the blackness makes your skin.
But it has produced some hilarious YouTube videos of people peeling the things.
Those are not fun.
They're hilarious when it depends on the ones. Like, I'm not saying they're hilarious just when a person's in pain, but like some people manage to be hilarious while they're in pain.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not making sense.
Yeah. No, I've tried those, the peel off masks. Not a fan. I'm like, why is this a thing? And it hurts. And people like, get off. And the first like black charcoal thing I tried was actually the like nose pad thing that goes over your nose. Uh-huh. So I was like, I got two in one. I was like, you would suck even if you weren't black. But also, this is my introduction to black charcoal and you suck. I'm not sure I'm a fan of this. You just hurt me. Why is this the case? But anyways, I find it very interesting about the things that people will try for like skincare and health and beauty that sound... why? They sound very like, but why would you? Because just some of them, I'm like, how did that become a trend? Black charcoal, okay, because, you know, charcoal and purifying water and something.
Right. Okay, so because we do other podcasts together, we recently talked about Crazy Rich Asians on the movie podcast, and I'm currently listening to the audiobook, and one of the characters very deadpanedly said that one of the other characters stayed so young by using I think she said whale vomit from New Zealand on her face.
Well,
you know, it's just weird enough that who knows?
It could actually, we'll talk about that a little later, some of the strangest things, but I wouldn't be surprised if that is a real thing somewhere, just because.
Yeah.
But so this week's topic I also find very interesting in that it's one of those ones where the reasons given behind people who believe it works are almost like scientific enough sounding that I'm like, I actually could kind of buy that and maybe want to try it. And it's not just like I'm putting random stuff on my face just because sort of thing. It's like, that almost sounds like actual science.
Which is good, because a lot of times it feels like, hey, what can we put on our face today and just see how it goes?
Hey, pick random ingredient from the store and just slap it together. But I mean, you know, I prefer actual science versus sounds like science, but still, close. We're getting to the closest of like, I might want to try it, maybe. And that is platelet-rich plasma therapy. And I'm going to say right now, I apologize if I mispronounce platelet this whole episode, because as I was writing my notes, I kept reading it as platelet in my head the whole time. And I'm like, why am I doing like Romeo and Juliet with blood in my head?
I was like, platelet, is there a different way to spell or to say platelet? Have I been saying it wrong the whole time?
I did actually. I knew it was pronounced platelet, and yet I had to look up the pronunciation because I kept wanting to say platelet. Say platelet, I do apologize. It's just how my brain wants to read that word.
Don't worry. I have no idea. She says it, I'll mock her and then it'll be a thing.
Okay. Thanks for that.
No problem. I'm here for you.
So your blood is actually, I mean, obviously mainly liquid, which is called plasma, but it also contains small solid components like the red cells, the white cells, and platelets.
Yes.
Not platelets. I want to make this into a Romeo and Juliet with blood cells, and I won't go there.
It's hilarious because I'm looking at the word and to me it just says platelet. Platelet.
Fine, Sarah, you're better than me.
No, I'm not.
Anyways, so platelets contain hundreds of proteins called growth factors that are very important in healing injuries, which, again, my like basic science is going, yeah, but wait, what? So I get this because in the same way, you know, if you have a wound, obviously that wound at some point has to stop bleeding unless you have, you know, the, what is it? Where your wound does not stop bleeding.
Hemophilia?
Yes.
Yeah.
But most people, you know, the blood eventually clots and clots over and then scabs and then you pick at the scab even though you're told not to.
What?
Oh, is that just me? But so, yeah. So anyways, platelets are involved in that healing process. And now there is this thing called platelet-rich plasma therapy, which is used, depending on where you get it and what for, to heal wounds and or skin care. But in a, like, healing sense, theoretically.
Okay. I have thoughts. Go ahead, though.
So, in platelet-rich plasma therapy, and to kind of help myself not to say platelet, I might just refer to it as PRP, because that's simpler and doesn't go into Shakespeare in any way. In PRP therapy, blood is drawn from a person, and then the platelets, I still had to say that word, dang it, are separated from the other blood cells by centrifugation. Right. And I saw this and immediately was thinking, like, but isn't that what they do in, like, NCIS and CSI and all those other, like, forensic things is you put the blood in the little thing and then spin it around to get the DNA or whatever?
I've donated platelets before.
And, have you?
You know, yeah. And it used to be, when I first started, they would take it out of one arm and put it back into another arm. Now improved it, done it so that it goes back into the same arm so you don't have to have needles in both arms.
But you're getting the platelet less blood. You gave up your platelets and you get everything else back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it comes out of your arm, it spins through the thing, they separate it and put the plasma back in.
Gosh, I now really want to see this. That sounds very interesting. Just because for PRP therapy, this usually takes about half an hour. Was that what it took for you?
It depends on how hydrated you are. It can take a couple of hours. Usually you get to watch a movie.
Wow. Okay.
It really depends. Some people take less, some people take more, just really a variety of factors.
Well, that sounds much funner than my experience because I've donated blood about half a dozen times, not for platelets, just regular blood donation. And on at least two occasions became very lightheaded and or like nearly passed out. I would much have preferred the, like, let's just sit and watch a movie version.
Well, and then they feed you Tums because, like, if you feel your lips starting to go numb. Your lips starting to go numb or you start getting really cold, and then they feed you calcium rich like acids. And so it's really weird. The first time I did it, I'm laying there. Oh, and they cover you with these nice warm blankies.
Right.
So I'm laying there in this fuzzy blankie, but I've got both arms extended. And then they're feeding me antacids. It was a very odd experience.
That sounds like not at all a health thing and like something totally else.
Yeah, very weird. But. Off topic.
Yes.
Only slightly on topic for once.
Platelets. But so anyways, the reason for PRP therapy is that the concentration of platelets in PRP by spinning it in the centrifuge forensics thing can be 5 to 10 times richer than usual. And since the platelets are the healing factor, they have the growth proteins. That's what you want to focus on. And so by spinning it, we get to separate them. And so the idea is that because we're putting in the more platelet-rich thing, that speeds up our healing speed.
Okay, so I can see where, so it sounds science-y, sure.
But again, right? Science-ish?
Is it backed up by studies, does it just sound good?
I will tell you that after the break. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where today we are talking about platelet-rich plasma therapy, or PRP therapy, which is semi-sciencey based. Okay. So this was originally a post-cardiac surgery transfusion back in 1987, and it was actually given FDA approval in 2009, so it is, legal in certain forms in the U.S. It
took 22 years, though.
Well, I mean,
that's a lot of study.
Because, and we'll get to it that, one of the nicknames given to some of this is vampire. And you can imagine if it's like, hey, I'm going to take your blood out and put your blood back in, the FDA would have been like, you're going to what now? Yeah. I don't know that I approve of this. But this has become pretty popular with celebrities. In 2013, Kobe Bryant went to Germany to receive, I'm going to pronounce this, Orthokina?
Looks right to me. Orthokine?
Something.
Yep.
Which is a form of PRP therapy to help him heal his torn Achilles. Mm-hmm. And Kim Kardashian famously received what's called a vampire facial, which is supposedly said to be anti-aging. And the pictures for this look... I don't even... She's smiling in it, but it's blood on her face. So it's just like, did you just... murder is someone?
It, and is it her blood? I would hope.
It is her blood, okay. Yes. PRP is done with your own blood, yes.
Who is the woman of history who's...
I read about that. The countess who...
who murdered her maids and bathed in their blood. I don't really think it helped her to not age.
It didn't. And I hadn't heard about that before looking this up, but vampire facial came up so much for this, mm-hmm. that story also came up. And I'm just like, yeah, wow. And I know there have been things with the idea of, like, the fountain of youth is receiving blood transfusions from, like, younger people. And I'm just like, no. But yeah, so science does allow for it, but it's not quite clear on whether or not it actually has an effect. The procedure Kobe Bryant received, which was for actual healing of, torn muscles and ligaments, does seem to be somewhat supported by science. And that's where it comes from with the FDA is, coming from the cardiac surgery treatment. The use of it for more anti-aging benefits, not clear that that really works. But it's also not clear that it has any really strong side effects either.
It's just the ick factor.
Well, I mean, as opposed to other things, as opposed to whale vomit.
Well, right. But I'm not saying that was that was from a book.
Yes, books and, nothing in books are true. But yeah, so because the research has not definitively proved that it helps, it's usually not covered by insurance. So if you do decide to get it, you're kind of on your own. But it is offered a number of places simply because it's not like a huge, you're taking a major chance if you do this sort of thing. The potential for side effects is actually pretty low. Because you're using your own blood, there's not really too much of a chance for allergic reaction. I would actually like to see that because I imagine that would be, let me rephrase that. I wouldn't want to see that, but I imagine it would be an amazing medical study if you somehow were allergic to your own blood.
Yeah, that would be.
How does that?
You cut yourself shaving, major allergic reaction.
It's like once it's in, so long as it's in your veins, it's fine. But once you take it out your veins, it's deadly or something. That's a horror film or an action film or a mummy film just waiting to happen.
Yeah, definitely a sci-fi film of some sort.
Yes. But other than that, it's important for the clinics to use the appropriate tubing to collect the blood. The procedure that Kobe Bryant received involved shards of glass, which makes me nervous. Wait, what? When I heard about. Yeah. So the one Kobe Bryant had to go, even though it's, you know, approved since 2009 by the FDA, and this was in 2013, he had to go to Germany because the procedure he received both uses shards of glass to, like, sort of trick the blood into thinking, oh, there's been an injury, so let's really send that healing stuff, but also it heats the blood, which the FDA does not approve. So you can go and, you know, forensic the heck out of your blood so long as it's not heated, and that's okay. But if you do with heat, then you have to go to another country. The FDA will not let you do that here.
I'm trying to keep an open mind, but this sounds so weird.
I want to go and watch someone, not me, do it just to see how the blood centrifuging and then back into your body thing happens. Is that like a tube when it spins and it's all in one thing? Or do I have to, like, sit there for a while as you centrifuge and then put that tube back in my arm? Or... that part fascinates me. The shards of glass one, I'm like, how well do you filter that before you put that back in my veins? No.
Well, I can invite you the next time I donate platelets and you can just hang out and watch the blood spin. That seems easy enough.
I thought we're going to go get a vampire facial.
No.
I'd be like, really?
But yeah, I definitely would want to read more studies and to see if this, because it sounds slightly crazy, and I don't mean that pejoratively. It just, you know, it sounds a little bit crazy, especially the facial part.
But I mean, the facial, you know,
there are some crazy things that work in the world. So who am I to say?
Amongst, like, you know, new treatments of things you inject into your skin with a needle, the facial one actually sounds pretty simple. I'm not going to say simple, safe-ish, because the side effects, the worst side effects that you've heard about are like redness, puffiness, mild nausea, passing out, and dizziness, which can go along with, you know, just any blood donation, as I've found out, lucky me.
Right.
But also irritation, pain, or bleeding related to the injection site, which again goes along with things with needles. Fun.
Right.
This is why I don't have a tattoo, because needles and I, not the best of friends. But because it has not yet been proven as scientifically anything, it's not covered by insurance, it can be pricey. Like, even just for the facial one, that's not actually like trying to heal any sort of muscle, ligament, surgical tear, whatever, mm-hmm. that can go anywhere from $500 to $2,500 session. Mm-hmm. And you possibly need more than one session to see a result.
Right.
As you always do with... why is that the case? It's like, if I'm going to, you know, pony up the cash and get up the nerve for you to stick needles in my skin, why do I have to do this multiple times? Get this down to one shot, dang it. Like, let's go. I just, what the heck?
Apparently, yes. So for Stacey, she would like one stop shopping.
Absolutely. And it needleless, if possible, somehow.
Okay. That's good to know.
Like, have we not yet gotten to, you know, in the same way you can do like birth control patches, like vampire facial patches?
Patches, that just sounds horrible.
Like osmosis patches where it goes in, but I don't need needles to do it. Yeah, I also don't actually want a patch of blood on my face, but a patch that does, you know, goes through the skin without requiring a needle. That's all I'm saying. I also would like it for you to be able to, like, check, you know, all the stuff in my blood without drawing it through a needle. Hospitals.
And she would like temporary tattoos to actually translate somehow to real tattoos. So she
only know. If I want, like, a tattoo I can turn on and turn off.
Oh, nice.
Like, oh, today I feel like showing a tattoo, another day though. But
what
again,
color is the sky in your world, Stacey? Because it sounds really fun.
It's teal.
I like it.
But anyways, so other athletes that have received PRP, and it wasn't clear if this was the American approved version or the I have to go to other countries approved version, but these are athletes like Tiger Woods, Steph Curry, Hines Ward, Troy, I'm going to probably butcher this last name, Polamalu?
Sure. I don't know who he is.
I think he's a football player. Probably. I apologize, sports people.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I have the excuse, at least, of not having a husband who watches sports. I'm not sure what Sarah's excuse is.
That I just don't recognize that particular name. I recognize a lot, but I got nothing. I got no excuse.
Okay. But PRP, beyond the muscle tears and skin treatments, has also been used for health growth. hair growth, excuse me, and to reduce osteoarthritis pain and inflammation. Mm. And that one I find interesting because I do know that there are shots that people receive for arthritis. And again, why with the needle? Like just
right. Things like cortisone shots.
Osmosis patch. Let's go. I demand this medical researcher spending millions of dollars find a less painful way to give me things. And also, why do you have to have the really super large pill? Just make two small ones. It's much easier. All my complaints about medical care right now.
It's true, that horse pill where you're like, really?
Just terrible. But yeah, so I get the idea of it. The hair growth one sounded, from what I could read, again, semi-sciencey proved, but not exactly. The arthritis one was done in a study, and so it wasn't a large sample size, but it was shown to improve pain better than a saline solution shot. Okay. So healing yourself, arthritis person, heal thyself. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Like, again, it's very like, okay, I almost buy this with the science, but wait a minute. Who came up with this idea in the first place? Because science does not necessarily suggest if you're sick, just take your own like phlegm or whatever and you'll be fine. Right? That's not quite how that works.
And this isn't something like, for instance, the Daith piercing, or I don't know how you pronounce
that,
you know, for migraines, where I'm like, well, it might help, and it's not that big of a deal if it doesn't, you know, it's just a piercing.
Right.
This is a little more like, you travel to Germany, spend thousands of dollars. If it doesn't work, you're out a little bit more than something like a Daith piercing.
But it is also not, you know, like a Daith piercing, a possible permanent modification to your body.
That's true.
Blood. It's a blood transfusion of your own blood. Again, we're getting sort of Frankenstein levels of science here. But it's like, okay, and if it doesn't work, I still have the exact same roughly amount of blood as I did have. So, cool. I'm just out thousands of dollars. Dang it.
Oh, shoot. Well.
Is that all? So, we're going to take another short break. And when we come back, we will be talking about some other strange beauty treatments that have existed throughout history. So stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where we are talking, amongst other things, about platelet-rich plasma therapy and other strange things people have tried in the name of health and or beauty. And I mean, some of these are still, I won't say supported by science, but like continued on. So I know like dating back even from Cleopatra in ancient Egypt was things about like, you know, cleansing with sweet almond oil or taking a milk bath. Mm. And those are things you can still absolutely find in a spa today. So it's like centuries and centuries of we do this because theoretically it works. And now science can tell us, you know, oh, the milk bath thing comes from lactic acid, which is like a gentle exfoliator and whatever. So it's like sciencey-ish. And we get it and we continue it. And it's not, you know, gross enough to the point that we've decided to, no. But other things, I'm just like, really? How was this ever a thing? Because I don't even understand the reasons you're giving, never mind whether or not science supports it, which it usually doesn't. So like, for example, ingesting gold was believed when people were trying to find like the fountain of youth. The idea was to take gold to not die.
Oh,
somehow.
And again, not cheap. Well, I mean, if you were finding it yourself, but
you definitely had to be rich to do it. But I'm just like, what was the thought process behind gold will keep me alive, other than it's a rare metal that we put value on?
Is
there anything you associated that with as, like, you know, proving that something else lives a long time? with gold. Yeah. It's
like, oh, look at that thing over there eating the gold nuggets. I mean, the what?
Right?
I can't imagine there's anything that eats gold.
This feels like the real life, you know, inspiration for the Midas, the King Midas story. I was like, oh. It wasn't that everything he touched, it was he ate gold and that ruined everything. I don't know. But other things were urine as a teeth whitener and or mouthwash and or toothpaste. This dates from ancient Rome. Because
okay.
I don't know. And again, I'm just like, I don't know how you got to that.
I mean, I feel like there could be some anecdotal evidence in there. Like maybe because you could have, isn't there ammonia or something in you? I don't even know. Maybe. I got nothing.
But yeah, I don't know. Using lead and or arsenic as a skin whitener.
I've heard that one. Plus all the lead in the, like your eyebrow pencils, you know, or those types of things.
Well, I think... I hope they've changed this, but I remember hearing as a child that the average woman ingests about a pound of lead a year from her lipstick.
Oh.
By, like, you know, licking her lips or whatever.
Glad I don't wear lipstick, really.
And I was just like, wait, there's still lead in lipstick?
I think they were, like,
is this the 1940s? I don't understand. Raw meat facials.
Ew.
Because, I mean, this is like, you know, how they used to say if you have a black eye, put a steak on your eye. Because
right.
I actually don't even know what the science-y explanation is for that, but that is such an old wives, you know, healing treatment that's existed for generations, so there must be something behind it, because that's still somehow given at times. It's like, oh, what, you got in a fight, put a beefsteak on it. It's like, and then what do you do with that beefsteak? Right, you exactly. Give it to the dog, right? Right,
I would hope so.
You don't like eat it, and isn't that a waste of beefsteak? When was this ever the idea, back when, you know, meat was not, oh, I can get it super easy at the supermarket?
Oh, I'm just thinking about Harry Potter when Hagrid puts the giant gross dragon steak on his black eye, and he probably did eat it afterwards. Maybe he gave it to Fang.
See, I'm thinking of Secondhand Lions, where they do that in that movie as well, and that's set in like the 60s,
right,
where everyone got a fight and they put steaks on, and it's like, you want to stay for dinner? It's like, what are we gonna have? Meat.
Yeah.
Like, no. But also lemon or orange juice as an eye drop.
Ow.
Right. I'm just like, I mean, the things you'll do in the name of beauty, I guess, but no, the idea was, and I mean, this is true, you know, lemon and orange are acid, so
yeah,
they do brighten. The idea was you're brightening like the whites of your eyes, where I'm like, I think you might also like be blinding yourself
a little bit.
And even if you had no, like, you know, permanent health damage, doesn't that hurt too much to want to do that? Like, I'm not the best with, like, I probably have a good pain tolerance, but it doesn't feel like it when I'm actually in pain. It's like, I have no pain tolerance whatsoever. Please stop. So it's just like, why would you willingly do that to your eyes?
I mean, you know, just when you squeeze a lemon and a drop flies in your
right?
eye. No.
Or like if you wash your face and you get a little soap in your eye, there is a horrible dance of pain that happens when I'm just like, nope, nope, nope. But also radium infused mask. Because
of the glow.
This was using, you know, radium clay as a face mask, and the idea was something, I'm not sure if this was the idea, like, back in the time where science was seen as the future, and so nuclear was going to be great and everything, and there was no possible negative downsides to nuclear. I'm like, no.
Well, yeah.
Benefit of hindsight, yeah, no, most definitely not. Freezing off freckles with carbon monoxide. And I know there's been a number of treatments throughout the centuries about freckles, about, you know, different, I think arsenic might have been used for that as well. Some sort of paste I think, know they used to put on freckles.
I think citrus may have at some point been, like, tried
possibly
as a theory for making them less noticeable.
Yeah, different ways of, like, trying to bleach freckles off or freeze them with, that must have been, like, in the past century. Freezing with carbon monoxide, because I don't know that you could have done it much earlier than that.
That just seems, I mean, it's not like a mole or something that you're, or a wart that, it, you know, protrudes.
Right. Yeah. Wow. You have to, I'm now imagining you have to do it with needles. And so we're going to move on. This is also a real thing and a modern thing, is bird poop facials.
No, thank you.
Right. There's something in there, and I won't go into it because it still makes me gross, but sure, sciencey-ish, but you really can get over the ick factor about that.
Maybe whale vomit is a thing.
Well, and then there's also semen is a thing for, evidently, for acne and aging, anti-aging treatments, and I'm just like, and I know placenta is also a thing in some beauty and hair treatments, and I'm just like, who first came up with this? Like, seriously, who first tried why did you first try like placenta on your face? I don't understand.
Well, yeah. And there's some, and you know, eating it or, you know, like all those things of postpartum.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and I'm shocked because like I actually like snail skin things, and that, like the vampire facial, I can kind of get with like the semi-science thing of, you know, snails can crawl over things that tear their skin, but then they heal because of their slime. So let's put the slime in. I get that.
Oh yeah, is that the science-y thing where they let them, where they put the snails on your face and let them?
I have not seen that one. You can find a number of products with snail in it. Oh, though,
I've actually,
especially in Asia.
I don't know. I've seen pictures, and maybe they just are, I wouldn't. Like, maybe that's just like clickbait to get you to click on it, and maybe then they talk about snail slime products. But I've seen,
I'm sure,
pictures
there is probably
of
a snail facial somewhere that does involve putting actual snails.
Well, it's better for the snails.
I'd prefer the slime because it doesn't, theoretically, it doesn't hurt them because the slime heals them anyways. And I read one where they talk about they put like the food at the top of this, like, I'm going to call it a cheese grater. That's not what it is, but it's a thing with holes in it so the slime can drip down as the snail climbs up. And the snail's just climbing up to get food and the slime protects it from getting hurt. But you also get the slime. And so it's like,
okay,
I have
so
the
no
slime.
No snails were harmed in
right,
the making
exactly
of that slime.
I'm like, that I can get behind. Putting actual, I don't want live crawly things on my face. I'd freak out. You couldn't get me to sit there for like 5 minutes. Be like,
with a snail on. Okay.
Like a fear factor challenge.
Yeah. So whale vomit is actually called ambergris. And apparently it's used at least in perfumes.
How do you even get whale vomit? I just,
it looks like a rock.
It does. And I, how do you know that's not a rock? Who went out and scientifically proved that that is whale vomit? How do you know that's whale vomit? And who again
unless
decided?
Unless you saw a whale actually go, bleh.
Now I'm very nervous about like any rocks I see at the beach. I don't want to go near them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it does. It looks like a regular rock that I wouldn't think twice about. Oh, no, I'm all super nervous about just anything I see. I can't trust anything anymore.
Nope, sorry.
And someone is dying to put it into a face cream because, well, people will pay ridiculous amounts of money for it for some reason. And on that gross note,
we shall leave you on the grossness.
Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.